Just an orange soda and a Diet Fizz.
Oh, sorry, TT. What?
It cost me $28.65.
Can you get some lids on and bring it back to the studio now?
It really comes to something. I'll just sit here and eat it myself. After all, I am eating for...
What happened?
Oh, boy.
I guess we lost her. We are incredibly fortunate to have our next guest on the line. I know that she's been in high demand since Flowers just blowing up all over the place as the independent game of the year. Open the line, Keith. Santa Monica, California! Kelly Santiago of that game company! Go! Welcome to We Talk Games, Kelly. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Am I coming through?
Yep.
Okay, very good. Kelly, I was expecting an intern, and here I got the president. What's going on?
Well, there are only 10 of us here, so we don't have interns.
Okay, very good. But, I mean, you're holding the conch, I'm sure, so I guess you are the president of that game company.
That's right, president and co-founder with Genova Chen.
Very good. And that game company has been in the news, the recipient of many awards and nominations for awards, and you're really getting a lot of props. I see even that Flower is once again topping the charts of downloadable content for the PlayStation Store.
Oh, really? I hadn't even seen that yet. That's excellent news. And yeah, I mean, it's just every day this week has been getting mentioned as part of some new Best of 2009 list. It's just been awesome.
That's fantastic and well-deserved as well. I'll talk about my life experience with Flower as we go on. But let's find out a little bit more about you. Now, you graduated from USC.
That's right.
KSCR 104.7 FM Underground. Do you ever listen to that station?
That's the USC station?
It is.
Oh. I've never heard that call sign. Okay. Yeah.
Well, they might have ripped down the Underground since the last time I was there. I was interviewed there, I don't know, maybe 10, 15 years ago by Michael Virginia and Bindi.
Oh.
Bindi was the intern. See, they had interns. What's going on here? So, yeah, they interviewed me for my band back in the day, but I really enjoyed the campus while I was there. But,
you were in a band?
I still am doing that. I'm still doing the music, the trapdoor, and
awesome.
Yeah, do a lot of different things. Now, you graduated with a master's of the...
It's a master's of fine arts in interactive media, and that was at the School of Cinematic Arts.
Oh, okay,
and,
very good.
Yep, that's where Genova and I met, and a couple other people, actually, who are also here at that game company. But he and I were in the same class of... The master's program is really small. There were 9 people in our class. So we worked on projects before, but then it was the Student Game Cloud, which is what... During the course of that project is where we really found kindred spirits in each other and sort of the kind of games we wanted to make and put out in the world.
Sure, sure. Yeah, and you say it was a small class. Fine arts in interactive media, that sounds like it hasn't probably been around for very long.
Right. Well, we were the second incoming class when we started in 2003.
Okay.
So we were the second graduating class as well. So it was very new. We used to joke that our main hub of our program was upstairs in the building, the Zemeckis Center. And we would joke that, no one knew what the heck we were doing upstairs.
Sure, sure. Yeah, that's amazing.
But that changed really rapidly. I mean, I think they had excellent timing with when they started that program, because it was just really the next 5 years where we saw, now there are a number of game design programs and interactive media programs around the world.
Sure, and I guess with the inundation of all the outlets now for smaller companies or even independent game designers, it's just amazing that the little companies can compete and deliver as much enjoyment, as much satisfaction, as much of a video gaming experience, whatever that now entails, as the big companies that have been around since the inception of video games.
Oh, yeah. And I think that definitely the growth in digital distribution forums has absolutely accelerated the growth of the programs and the number of people who are now interested in getting into game design, because they really see a lot of opportunities to make their own kind of games and then get people to play them. I mean, even just putting them up for free on your website.
You know? Yeah, definitely.
It's really cool, and it's bringing a lot of people who before probably would have never been able to get their own game design out there to do that. You were talking that you had Jason Rohr on your show.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a perfect example of someone who I absolutely adore his video games, but in previous business models, there's probably no way I would have ever had access to them before.
Exactly. Yeah, tell us about cloud, the orchestration, the immersion. What leads into making cloud? Now, you said it was part of a project, so mm-hmm. can we know a little bit more about this?
Yes. There's the Game Innovation Lab at USC. When we were in our second year of the program, they offered a grant for a student team to build a game that only requirement for it was that it had to be innovative. And as I said, the interactive media program was in the School of Cinematic Arts, so it wasn't in the computer science program. So we had a wide range of talents on the team. And so we thought, you know, what can we do? Because we can't innovate technologically. So we sort of examine how we could innovate on content. And it was actually right around a time when, what was it? I think Grand Theft Auto San Andreas had just come out. So there's another surge in the media that happens sort of every time a really violent video game comes out that sort of just bans the entire medium as a whole, that video games as a whole are awful, that they're teaching our children to kill, all these terrible things. And we thought, well, could we make a game that really proves that you can express something different in a game, and on top of that shows that people would be really interested in this kind of game, which we really didn't know at the time, if people would be sort of interested in it or have fun playing a game that was kind of different from all of that.
Yeah.
And so Genoa had been thinking for a while about a mechanic of like affecting a world through the weather systems, and then simultaneously to that, you know, we're trying to think of content that would evoke a different emotion, and we came upon this feeling of remembering what it was like to be a kid looking at the clouds and daydreaming.
Okay.
And if we could create a game that evoked that emotion. And that's where it led to the final game of Cloud, which is still up on the internet at thatcloudgame.com. And in it, you play as a boy who's trapped in a hospital who daydreams he can fly through the clouds. And so you sort of grab clouds and move them around, and you can write with them, and then you can create rainstorms with dark clouds. And then we put it out into the world sort of as part of submitting to a number of independent game festivals. And it just really took off in this completely viral way, of course, because we're students, so we didn't have any way to market the thing.
Sure.
It was just really unbelievable how it spread around the world and all the different kinds of people we had responding to it, and just really genuine response of praise towards the great game. And that's really what took Genoa and I to the next step, which is to say, hey, people really do respond positively to this kind of stuff. You know, maybe we could actually keep doing this and make a living doing this.
And then what was next? Flow?
So Flow was actually Genova's thesis project. We all had to do an individual thesis project and a contribution to the medium. I actually did this motion capture control system for Cloud, so you could fly with your body.
Oh, right. I saw that.
Controlling the game. And Genova's thesis was on applying Mihaly Csikszentmihalyi's flow theory, or the theory of how people get into the zone or get into having fun, applying that to video games. And what he came to was that if through the core mechanics of the game you allow the player to determine their own experience, if they want a hardcore experience, if they want a casual experience, then that allows your game to sort of appeal to a wider range of people. Somewhat ironically, this is completely what is happening in Grand Theft Auto, where through driving you can create a hardcore experience by ranking up your star level really high, or you can go on the missions, or you can just be really casual and just, you know, run around and bump into people and hear what they say and stuff like that.
Sure.
So Flow was just this flash game that was a really, really simple implementation of that. And again, it was just got a huge response from his website. And we were approached by Sony sort of in our talks about doing a game for the PlayStation Network. We were originally approached about Cloud, but we just realized it would be too much for a new team. I mean, none of us had development experience before.
Mm-hmm.
So we decided to take the more simpler game, Flow, and put it on the PlayStation 3, which turned out to be a good decision because it was not so simple.
It was really, really tough,
and we learned a lot. I definitely learned why you hear veterans in the industry say that, you know, nothing compares to you once you've shipped that first game. You're really forever changed by it. There's nothing like it.
Now, I know that you actually were contracted by Sony. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. We're in a three-game development deal with Sony Santa Monica.
And do you get, like, dev kits, and what's all involved with that?
Yeah, under that, they supply dev kits. Now there are a couple different kinds. You have dev kits and test kits, which are smaller and cheaper but have less debugging functionality. Yeah, I mean, basically the idea of the development kit is that it has kind of a little bit more power than your consumer unit, because while you're making a game, you're both running the game, but then you also need to be debugging it and sort of running other programs simultaneously to it in order to fix it if it breaks and evaluate different systems. And so that's sort of your basic development kit for any of the consoles.
Well, to go from Flow, which was basically 2D, and then go into Flower, you really seem to have gotten a hold of what the PlayStation was capable of, and utilizing some of that, you know, internal power there, the built-in algorithms, the things that you can take a hold of and manipulate, that's already embedded in the power of that processor and the cores and things like that.
Well, yes and no. I mean, there's only so much you can invest in your technology on a smaller scale project. And so larger scale, you can kind of have more time to invest in systems and get really down deep. I mean, you also need programmers who are very interested in doing that. And it can be a pretty boring job to really get down into the nitty-gritty of the PS3. For smaller projects, what you'll see, like in Flow or an Everyday Shooter, especially, we really didn't, for those initial projects, utilize sort of the SPUs and more of the power. We sort of tried to keep it contained into a realm that we were more familiar with, because there were so many other moving pieces, and your first development project is just sort of insane anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So you really want to mitigate your technological risk as much as possible. But then on Flower, you can see we did a lot of work into researching the SPUs. That's how we get the grass system and the petal swarms. But you can see the grass system is really utilizing the SPUs and fell out as a result of the research our programmers were doing on the SPUs. But even so, on that project and this one, we do use the Fire Engine, which is sort of a middleware graphics engine done by the Sony internal.
Okay.
So we're never like getting really into the guts of it, especially as a small team with limited resources. Unless you have those like crazy ninja Eastern European programmers who are like way into it, you could try and avoid it.
Right. Now, is there a spark that happens to try to think about making a game like Flower? Is there research involved, or is it just drawing from memory, drawing from experience? How does Flower come about?
Oh, man, I think all of the above, really. It definitely starts with the spark from our creative director, Genova. He came to us with this idea of trying to capture this feeling of nature through your PS3. It's almost like you could escape to a happy place through your PlayStation 3. As we developed more, that concept evolved, because it really came from Genova's experience from moving from Shanghai to Los Angeles. And Los Angeles is a much more rural area compared to the megapolis of Shanghai. And especially driving around California, he had never, ever experienced nature in that way before. So that's where you see the story in Flower of the urban versus the natural, but the idea being that you really want to achieve a balance between both, and that not one is necessarily better than the other. And you kind of, if you're in the nature a really long time, you may miss the city, and if you're in the city a really long time, you might miss nature. Genova definitely does a lot of reading in philosophy and storytelling, psychology, and it all feeds into our process.
Fantastic. Yeah, I was involved with another audio program for about 4 years, and my growth with that product had stopped for me. And as a parting gift, one of my beloved listeners, Noel Malinowski, gave me a PS3, Little Big Planet, and a Blu-ray set. And because I was so touched by this, the generosity of some of my listeners, I just let it sit in the box in the middle of my living room for, you know, about a week or so, with the little Amazon two wiggly cards on them and everything, just so I could just soak it all in and just, you know, really appreciate it. And then one day, Chizzy, my wife, she was feeling a bit under the weather. She had a rough week. And I remember reading about flower in one of these magazines I got for free after paying money to sign up for a discount club. And I said, this sounds pretty amazing. I really need to check this out. So I hooked up the PS3 to my television, my stereo, and I downloaded Flower. And not only was Flower the first game that I played on our system, but it was just the right kind of vegetable soup for the psyche that Chizzy needed. And she loved it. So that's my little Flower story and how it changed and all. Put a big giant rainbow. And like when things were exploding on the television and becoming all green and the rainbow, that extended out into the living room.
Oh, man, that's a wonderful story.
Right on. So now Spike Television, you're on TV.
Yeah.
What's going on with that? Did you expect
television?
That? How's that?
Yeah, that was amazing. We were not expecting that. We were thinking Spike TV, fueled by Mountain Dew. Oh, it's got to go to Charles HD or something. That seems like the perfect fit. So we were just really honored, and you know, I said this probably a million times beforehand, but just I was really excited by it because it just really showed that these kind of games aren't just niche, artsy, fartsy games, that they really appeal at a commercial level, which is our goal. I mean, we really, I think, get labeled as the experimental and artsy. And by that meaning, like, sort of just niche or doing our own little thing. But our goal is, in making these games, is to appeal to a wider audience. The idea being that the gamer audience has been kind of limited in the past because the content itself has been pretty limited, the variety in it. And, I mean, I really love video games, first of all, and I play my fair share of Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, but, you know, I want variety. And it's like exactly that situation that you're talking about. You know, maybe you're at home and you're not feeling that great, and I just don't want to be in a place anymore where I'm thinking, am I in the mood for a video game? I instead want to get to a place where it's just, well, what am I in the mood for? And that there's a game that's there for that.
Mm-hmm.
So like sometimes I do. I get home from work and I'm kind of nervous about turning my system on because I know Call of Duty's there waiting for me. And I'm like, but it's so stressful. I just got home.
Sure.
But I want to finish it, but gosh, it's so loud.
Yeah, Space Marines. How much Space Marines can you take?
Apparently never enough.
do you think that Space Marines are at the point that 2-on-2 side view fighting games were at back in the 90s? You think we're at that threshold?
I never thought about that, but yeah, probably. I mean, it's definitely the genre that, other than Wii Sports, I would say that the masses are most familiar with.
Sure.
Everyone knows Space Marines.
Well, I can't wait to see what the next pop genre is going to be. But I love how you mentioned the casual gamer and the hardcore, and you even worked that into your company ethics of that core appeal. So that really comes through as well. Now, you mentioned that you play games. So what made you get interested in games? Why did you even go to this interactive media course?
Well, you know, it's funny. I actually came from theater. I got my undergrad degree at NYU in theater and was in New York for a couple of years working and managing in the theater scene. And I really got into developing original works, and I actually applied to the USC Interactive Media Program from a perspective of wanting to incorporate it into like multimedia and interactive performance pieces. But it was my second semester there that I took this Critical Studies of Video Games course taught by Tracy Fullerton that examined the role in games throughout the history of humanity. And I always played video games growing up, but I just never thought about making them until that point. But when looking at the role of games in throughout history and then seeing what we accomplished in video games, you just really saw that we just scratch the surface of what was out there, not only just what was possible, but even like territories that we've covered in the past with board games still haven't been really breached in video games yet. And it was just really exciting. And it was just that same drive that pulled me towards doing original works in theater just really excited me in doing games and this sort of untapped potential and the lack of rules and structure. I mean, there's just really, it's kind of a wild west in a lot of ways. And it's slowly getting more formalized, but really even still, there's still sort of an anything goes attitude. No one really knows what's the right way to make a game yet. So
sure.
It's really exciting.
Yeah, yeah. Were you a fan of like Antonin Artaud or the Surrealists or any type of that influence?
Oh, yeah. Actually, I ran a game club group at USC, and we did a Surrealist Games event, which was just one of our more popular ones. It was a lot of fun. So we played some of the games that those guys used to play to free their minds.
Wow. That was just a stab in the dark, just considering that you came from a more theatrical background and the arts brought into there, and that's great. What's next to put the audience in action? Anything you can talk about or anything?
I can't talk about it. I can say we were doing our third game for PlayStation Network, but that's about it. Otherwise,
okay.
Tony will.
Sure, I understand. Well, Kelly, thank you so much for joining us. It's great to hear from you and taking time out for the little guys when you're up there with the G4s and the spikes and the things like that. So,
no way. We're the little guys, and it's just really it sounds so cheesy, but our fans are really the heroes and the big guys because they're the ones that get us access to those sorts of places and sort of get the word out there and in a way that can't be ignored. And they're just awesome.
Yeah, it's a big circle, and it's nice when it's a friendly community. And there's plenty of good stuff in the gaming community, no doubt about that.
That is true. Okay.
Well, thank you for joining us on We Talk Games.
Thanks so much for having me.
Right on. Visit thatgamecompany.com to find out more about That Game Company, and visit thatcloudgame.com if you want to download Cloud, find out what started it all. Hey, let's get Jasoni on the line, find out some good news about achievements. Milwaukee, Wisconsin! Jasoni, are you there? Can you hear me? Hello, hello, come in. I blew it out. Keith! Oh, this is something. Keith, get him back on the line. I think I blew it out with my yell.